Greetings, 7 Second Delay fans. Tonight, a rerun, or as Irwin prefers to call it, an encore presentation of 7 Second Delay, a never-before-re-aired episode from 1995, 15 years ago. This aired July 1995. It is so old that, in fact, when Andy and I announce the phone number, we do not give out an area code, because 15 years ago, the entire world used a single area code. So that's what dates this program. This was the topic of this program was, what have you memorized? Please do not call the number that we announce in any area code. Next week, Andy and I will be live at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. Please come out for that, 6 to 7 p.m. at 307 West 26th Street, right at the corner of 8th Avenue. And believe it or not, the Upright Citizens Brigade shows have been pretty good. We've been doing these things for about 2 years now, live in one place or another. And we've almost got it down. So please come out next week for our monthly live broadcast from the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. Now, the episode known as What Have You Memorized from July 1995. I'm telling you, we still have time to change the topic of the show.
Well, now we don't.
Well, we're only six seconds into the show.
Now we have liftoff. We're committed to this launch. You've seen Apollo 13 too much. We can't just turn around and come back to Earth now. We've got to go around the moon, the dark side of the moon, buddy, together. Hey, it's great to be back.
Good vomiting scene in Apollo 13.
Yeah, I just stay for the vomiting scenes, and then I leave.
It's the only reason I saw it.
That's right. Actually, I think in real life, if I remember correctly, all three astronauts died and crashed into the moon. They changed, I think, the ending, unless I'm remembering wrong. I believe that they crashed into the moon. But that's, you know, Hollywood. That's poetic license. They're entitled.
Mm-hmm. Benediction?
Dear Lord, may my show succeed while the shows of my friends fail, and yet may I always be perceived as a team player.
Amen.
And
gum?
Got plenty, thanks.
Gum?
No, no problem. I'm chewing a whole wad, thanks. Oh, spit it out. God, it never ends with you. God. So I thought we'd introduce what the topic is and get moving. How's that for a plan?
That's a good plan.
Okay, you go first.
Well, let's see, your stupid idea this week was to find out what people had memorized.
Yes, the theory is this. The working assumption is this, that everyone has something. Everyone has something memorized, a poem or a speech or the Gettysburg Address I don't know, what else might people memorize? Some sort of tidbit, some factual sort of tidbit that they had to learn in eighth grade that they just have never forgotten. And if you have something in your head that you just can't get out of your head, something you have memorized, whether you like it or not, give us a call at 678-7743, area code 201. As an extra bonus, you get to talk to our phone screener. What's that kid's name?
Eric.
And tell Eric I say hi. I haven't even had a chance to say hi to Eric. And gals, he's not married. Don't let this one get away, gals. For God's sake, you've screwed up every relationship in your life so far. But treat Eric like he deserves to be treated. And when Eric is talking to you, listen to him, ladies. Pretend to be interested, even if you're not. I know he's boring. Look, we all know that. And just thank God you're not talking to Stork. That's pretty much how you deal with Eric. Am I right, Ken? 678-7743. Now, what have you had memorized? What do you have memorized, Ken?
Kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species. That's it. Ninth grade biology class.
And those are...
I don't know why. I don't know what it is. I mean, come on. You wanted to know what I had memorized.
And has it ever...
Is this going to be a requirement for all the listeners? They also have to know what it is?
Yeah. Have you ever had to use it in a practical situation? Has anyone ever been discussing biology or science and you could actually apply that?
No, I did. It's a biological thing.
It's how species are categorized.
I mean, when things have come to fisticuffs in bars, I've tried that with about a 50-50 ratio of success. Sometimes it gets me off the hook, and other times
Sometimes when you say that, people just kind of zone out like a deer in the headlights. They just stare.
Yeah,
they just
everybody.
Freeze.
Sometimes I say it. Everybody just kind of backs off three steps. Yeah. Other times they jump on me and pummel me. It's a biology thing you say, though.
I'm going to buy you some pepper spray because it's just as effective, and you don't have to memorize anything. It's a biology thing. I'll tell you what I have memorized, and this will be how the show will go. So this is a real, this is a show for those cultural elites out there. Whose woodsies are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch his wood fill out with snow. My little horse must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near.
Miles to go before
the woods,
I sleep.
Between the woods and Frozen Lake, the darkest evening of the year. He gives his harness bells a shake to ask if there is some mistake. The only other sound's a sweep of easy wind and downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark, and deep, but I have promises to keep him miles to go before I sleep, miles to go before I sleep.
Excellent rhyming, dude.
Thanks very much, yeah. That Robert Frost sure could rhyme. And I don't think it's ever been read with such emotion either. But you can verify that I was not reading that.
You were not.
Now, we have to get people, I guess people in cars, to call 678-7743, because how else can we be sure that they're not reading it? Unless they have a friend there that we feel is trustworthy.
Right.
We will use your gut instinct on this, Ken.
People can read while they drive. You know, you hold what you're reading up above the
screen. Well, yes, but who would bring Ivanhoe with them on the way home from work?
That's true. Okay, so then we can't accept the triple A rule book.
Exactly. We can't accept the front page of today's Daily News as something you've memorized.
Or the back of a travel map.
Exactly.
That's not the kind of stuff we're looking for.
Or the back of the truck in front of you. 678-7743. Hi, you're on the air. What have you memorized?
10th grade math.
Okay.
Figure out the sine, cosine, and tangent of a triangle.
And how can we be sure you're not reading this?
You can't.
Okay. Are you at home?
Yep.
Are you alone?
Andy, he's got us over the barrel because he's the only caller. So whether
damn him. He's brilliant.
My wife is home.
Your wife is home?
My cats are home.
We want to talk to your wife.
Oh, okay, hold on a second.
Fine.
So,
I trust the wife.
We also have Don in the background today listening in on our telephone technology.
He's going to try to find the problem?
Yeah.
He's troubleshooting, isn't he? He's a troubleshooter, isn't he?
Well, he heard how lousy our program is, and he thought it might be a problem.
A technical problem.
I tried telling him it's not a technical problem.
Maybe he can adjust the phones, and then if there's time, he can adjust my personality later, at the end of the week, if there's time left over.
That would be good.
Oh, no, wait, let's hear this guy try to talk his wife into talking to us.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air. It's kind of a dream come true for you, isn't it?
Really?
Did you know your husband was dialing us when he dialed us? He doesn't run these things past you anymore, does he?
No, he stopped that a while ago.
I know. When you first got married, all these decisions were joint decisions.
Well, not really, but...
Okay, now he's going to read off some mathematical equations that he's claimed that he's memorized. He's not reading. He doesn't have a math book in his hand, does he?
I can't see him where I am.
Oh, he's in a different room. Oh, he's brilliant. Can you go run and see what he's doing? How about this? We're going to ask him to begin to do this, to read this. And while he's doing it, you go running in and take a look, okay?
Okay.
The question is, has he really memorized it?
And if you see him reading from a book, you just yell as loud as you can, violation.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, that's right. Blow your referee whistle. Okay. What's your husband's name?
Dennis.
I don't think it is. Okay, we'll just call him Dennis for now. Dennis? Is he on the extension?
No, I can see him now.
Okay, he's not reading anything, is he?
No, he doesn't have anything in his
Okay, hand. Give him the signal. You know how Ken gives me a signal to begin? He kind of points right at my nose.
Right.
Do that to Dennis. Go. Give him that old Ken signal. Okay.
Go.
Go. Yeah, he doesn't. Oh, there's no extension in the other room? Okay, well, then you have to hand Dennis. You have to give him the signal and hand him the phone.
Oh, okay, deal.
We're now working out the system perfectly.
What
Did
other?
I give him the signal and hand him the phone now?
Yeah. Okay. Could you, do you remember if I had any other ideas for tonight, for this week's show, by any chance? Or was this the only one I had? I don't even know why I'm asking you. Okay, put Dennis on.
Okay.
I wrote down some other
ideas.
Okay, Dennis.
All right, I have nothing in my hand. Nothing up my sleeve.
Gotcha. This is just from your memory.
Right.
Go.
So the tangent is the opposite over the adjacent. Sine is the opposite over the hyperbole.
Hypotenuse,
excuse me.
Oh, sheesh.
Oh, come on. I remembered mostly.
Yeah, well, he's doing it from memory, Ken. He doesn't have that math book in front of him like you do.
And the cosine is the adjacent over the hyperbole.
Right.
Okay?
That's what you have memorized.
Right.
Well, that's not very much. That's not really cluttering up your little brain, is it?
No, not at all.
You have plenty of gray cells left over to get through life, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's really just using up two or three. Well planned.
Well, probably more than two or three.
I think it's just two or three. Number one, you've got it incorrect.
Well, he didn't say I memorized it completely. That's why I failed math.
But it does take brain capacity to remember things wrong, too, Andy.
That's right.
That's true.
And now he has that memorized and the memory of this debacle of a phone call, too.
Yeah.
So you're running out of storage right now.
And the sad thing is this is probably the last show I'm ever going to hear from you guys because we're moving, so...
Where are you going?
Lambertville,
Pennsylvania?
New Jersey.
Oh, New Jersey. That's right at the Delaware Waters Gap,
yep,
right?
Uh-huh.
That's a nice little town.
Yeah.
Is there any way at all, Ken, we could set up a signal there and an antenna there? Please, Ken? Dennis, please?
What do you say?
No, but we could rent you out. You could hang out in one of the antique stores in Lambertville.
Uh-huh.
Of which there are plenty.
Yeah. And you could just do your thing. And Dennis and his wife could walk in any time and just hear you babbling. And it would be like listening to FMU. That's about as good as we can do.
You would buy me a bus ticket to Lambertville.
Right.
And I'd work out an arrangement with the owner of an antique store.
Where I would sit in the corner and babble.
And you would just repeat your six jokes. You would just repeat things like, when I say I have a life, I mean I have a big TV. Okay.
Could you get like a Cracker Barrel to sit around? Or?
Yeah. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. I'll decide later.
You could broadcast live from there.
Hey, listen, have a great, great life in Lambertville.
You too.
Dennis,
enjoy.
You've got some explaining to do to your wife.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Get to work.
It's been
fun.
Yeah,
no, you're going to enjoy Lambertville.
Thanks.
I said, you are going to enjoy Wait, I can't even say it now. I said, you're going to enjoy Lambertville. Like, as if he's going to have a good time there. Oh, that makes me laugh.
He's not going there to have a good time. He's going there to live.
He's going there to be right near the Pennsylvania border. He's a man clearly wanted by the New Jersey authorities and wants to be near the state border. Hi, you're on the air. You love the show.
Love the show.
Thank you very much. And what have you... Now, wait. You're not in a car.
I'm in a store.
Okay.
Oh, good enough. Can't have any reading material in a store unless the laws...
Oh, he's in a comic book store.
Oh, there you go.
I've memorized the first page of the new Hulk.
No. Yeah, liar.
No, I've...
What do you have memorized?
I have a list of the prepositions, and you can tell I'm not reading this because I have it in song form.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
About a bus...
Wait a minute. Wait. Close your eyes first.
Okay.
Oh, I'm brilliant. Okay. Now we know he's not reading.
I have my hands over my eyes.
Okay, go ahead then.
About, above, across, after, against, along, among, around, at, beside, behind, below, beneath, beside, between, beyond, by, down, during, except. And the song ends, so I don't remember the ones after E.
And what are those again?
Those are prepositions.
Oh, those are prepositions, not prepositional phrases.
No,
right.
They begin the prepositional phrase.
Gotcha.
It's
right.
Great that you know all that. It's probably the worst melody I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
It's nothing like you'd hum in the shower.
It's familiar, though, right?
What does it do it again?
About, above, across.
Is it Three Blind Mice?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bastardization of Three Blind Mice.
Oh, man,
hey,
you could
what
sue.
What do you call my teacher?
Oh, man, I just hope that the person who wrote Three Blind Mice isn't listening. I don't want to get involved in that one. Well, thanks very much for calling.
Sure. Goodbye.
Goodbye. 678-7743.
Okay, now you know what I have to do. I have to give a secret message to our phone screener, Eric, in code so that nobody else will understand it.
Okay.
Okay, so Eric, drop whatever you're doing, or Stork or Mike, if you're down there, slap Eric so that he pays attention to this secret message. Here's the secret message, Eric. We want to use the third line. So if anybody comes in on the third line, we need to test it. So the third line is okay for testing. Okay? That's the end of the secret message.
You know, when I first got this job, they gave me all this training about how to handle government emergency signals. But I never actually saw one like that in action.
Oh, but they didn't give you the card that allows you to drive around in the case of a nuclear emergency.
No, they didn't.
I still have my card.
Listen, 2% milk. This is what I'm going to need in case of the nuclear war. 2% milk and some dietetic cookies. Because just because there's a nuclear war, I don't want to just blow it up. So anything dietetic. And
Dramamine.
Dramamine would be good, too.
You don't want to have the runs during a nuclear war.
That would be so embarrassing.
Yeah.
Imagine there's only 4 or 5 people left on Earth, and you're one of them, and you've got the runs. Oh, God, everyone will be talking about it. You know what my plan is, by the way, to survive a nuclear attack?
What?
I'm going to play dead. That's my plan.
That's a good one.
I'm just going to lie in the street and just look like I'm dead.
Well, I'm going to let people in on the secret way out of Hoboken right now in the case of a nuclear war.
What is the secret way out of Hoboken?
Ravine Street.
Hold on.
Ravine Street. Newark Street, if you go all the way to the end, turns into Ravine Street. Everybody else, they'll be shooting each other to get out of town.
Right.
Fighting over canned goods, things like that.
And, of course, once you get out of Hoboken, you're invited to go anywhere except my town. I just want that known. You're not invited in my little town. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey.
You love the show.
I love the show.
Do you have something memorized?
Yeah. I have a good chunk of the movie Blazing Saddles memorized.
Okay. You're not driving a car.
No.
You're not with a friend or a wife.
No.
In fact, you haven't had a date since April of 1989. Okay. Well, so we're going to have to ask you to close your eyes.
Okay.
They're not closed.
Okay.
Just hang up. Are they real? Are they closed?
I kind of don't need them closed to do this.
But we have to make sure you're not reading from the script.
Well, I wouldn't happen to have a copy of the script lying around. This is just one of those things that sort
okay.
of evolved.
How does Blazing Saddles begin? Let me see if I can remember how it begins. It begins with a chain gang scene. Is that right?
Well, yeah. It's the Asians and the blacks working on the...
Right, and the first line of dialogue is...
Is, ooh-wee, it's hot. You'd think it's 120 degrees out. It can't be more than 114.
He's got the script.
But wait, let's...
That was an excellent trick. That was a very good trick.
Wait, let's see if we hear a page turning. Soon he'll be at the bottom of the page. Go ahead, keep going, listener.
Dark fat chink, a day's pay for napping on the job. Oh, you guys are lollygagging around with them pigs and them
shovels. He's acting it out, too.
Where's your spirit? I don't hear no singing. When you were slaves, you sang like birds. Come on, how about a good old-fashioned nigger work song? Nigger work song? Come on, something like Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. Oh, how about the Camptown Lady? The Camptown Lady.
Okay, we believe you. And we're very entertained.
Yes, we believe that you're not reading from the script.
Now, how many times have you seen that movie?
Too many. I saw it a lot when I was young because, you know, it was thrilling because, it, you know, like...
Because of the fart scene.
Yeah, the fart scenes and all that.
You know
stuff.
What? We had to stop you. I really enjoyed your little call. We had to stop you before
There's
that scene.
Epithets,
yeah, we were just afraid you'd get to that campfire scene. And we didn't want to be part of that. Thanks very much for calling.
Sure thing.
678-7743. The question tonight, what have you memorized? I read... Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening. We've heard a list of prepositions. We've heard, what else have
that,
we heard?
That biology thing that you identified.
That's right.
The thing that I used to say to keep people from beating me up.
It must have scared you not knowing what that was. You must have been like one of those amnesia victims.
I thought it was Latin for, if you don't beat me up, my father will give you a great deal of money.
And still it worked half the time, you say.
Yeah, that's right. How come it didn't work all the time?
Well,
that should have tipped me off.
That's right.
Okay, now this is an experiment. We're trying line 3.
Hello, line 3. You're on the air.
That's still broken. Okay.
Okay, so now do you have a new coded message for Eric?
To keep trying line 3.
Oh, really? So one-third of our callers are just cannon fodder.
We just Don's here working on it. We just got to keep trying until it gets fixed.
678-7743. What have you memorized? Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, I told you, I memorized capitals of Europe.
You memorized what?
Capitals of Europe.
Capitals of Europe.
Yeah.
Okay, but how can we make sure you're not reading from a map?
I think we can tell.
My father and my wife are standing here.
Your father?
And my wife.
Okay, put your father on.
Okay, hold on. Dad, come here. This gentleman would like to speak with you.
Now treat this guy with respect, Andy, okay?
With what?
With respect.
Why?
Because he's his dad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, that's okay. Go ahead. What does he want to know?
Your son called. You're on the radio, by the way. Did you know that?
Yeah, I just figured that out.
You let your son, you gave your son permission to call?
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, everyone, no matter how old they are, should get their parents' permission before they call. Isn't
well,
that true, Ken?
He's very old. He's almost older than me.
I got old.
Ooh,
that is old.
Oh, it's one of those kinky things.
Yeah.
Okay. One of those, well, clearly yeah. the son,
which came first.
Clearly the father was frozen in some sort of freak accident in, involving an iceberg. And that's how the son then gained gained on him.
Okay.
Clearly, Ken. Duh.
Okay.
Hello, Ken. Welcome to Earth. Ken doesn't put these things together as quickly as most of us. Your son is about to recite the capitals of Europe.
Yes.
And we want to make sure that he's really reciting it from memory and not reading it.
He's got nothing here, I swear.
You swear on my life. You swear on your son's eyes.
On his son, I'll swear on his eyes, yeah.
May God strike you dead with lightning if
God
you are lying.
Strike me dead with lightning on this clear blue sky.
May God torture him.
Okay. May God rip your toenails out with a rusty pair of pliers.
No, that's not good enough. No, worse than that. Worse torture.
I don't think God would do worse than that. I think that's the worst that God would ever do.
God, well, you know, he could do a lot.
That's right. Exactly.
But he wouldn't do a lot.
Oh, but he has done a lot.
He has not done worse than the pliers? Worse than the pliers on the toenails?
I think so.
The capital of Europe?
No, we're way beyond that now, sir.
Only thing I could think of worse than that is that first Billy Joel record. The one, Cold Spring Harbor.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the worst God's ever done.
Okay.
Well, that's possible.
Okay.
Go ahead. May God...
May God make you buy and listen to that first Billy Joel record repeatedly, if I am lying.
Yeah, okay.
Do you agree to that?
Oh, listen, I'll agree to anything you guys say right now.
Oh, you're the best dad in the world. I'd kill for a dad like you.
I'm
oh, God
right
bless
now.
You.
That's the name of a new movie.
All right, put your son on the phone.
All right, here he is.
Oh, what a great old dad.
A great old dad?
Yeah.
Well, come see me and I'll show you how old I am.
Hey, don't get me started.
I knew you were going to offend him before it was out.
Well, that's sort of my trademark, offending. My fans expect that. It's like Hitchcock used to walk through the movie.
Offensive.
Yeah, we hope to be a little offensive. That gives me that edge, that radio edge
that
people
I
love.
See. Okay,
okay so you're going to do the capitals of Europe.
Sure.
Okay,
give
go.
Give me a country.
Pick any country.
Give me a country in Europe.
Greece.
In Europe.
Greece.
Greece?
Yeah.
Yes, Greece.
Wrong.
No, it's not wrong.
It's Budapest.
No, that's Hungary.
Hold on. Could you please hold on? Our research staff is working here.
Yeah, your research staff is stupid.
Hold on, please. Don't insult these guys. You know, we're down to five guys now because there's been some...
It must be rough running with five guys.
Could you hold on, please, caller?
Jeez.
Athens is correct. Okay. And I owe you an apology.
Thank you. And I believe you could check Hungary as well.
Hold on, please. We will. Don't think we won't. Budapest. Okay. And we owe you another apology.
Romania. Bucharest.
Okay.
Bulgaria, Sofia.
Okay, how about Andorra?
Andorra is not in Europe.
Yes, it is.
Where? What is it, a microstate?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, not a microstate. It's a full-fledged country.
I don't think so.
I think so.
Albania, maybe? Tyrene?
No, I think Andorra is in Europe.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It's between France and Spain.
You're out of your mind.
No, go check.
My wife and I were there a year and a half ago.
It's a microstate.
It's not. What's a microstate? What does that mean?
What's Luxembourg? What's Monaco? What's Monte Carlo? They're all microstates.
What does that mean, a microstate?
Hey, you know what you're talking
about? Does a microstate have a capital?
Excuse me?
Does a microstate have a capital?
Well, for instance, the
Monaco.
Capital of Luxembourg is Luxembourg.
Oh, I see. How about
it's
Monaco?
It's just a city. It's one city. That's what a microstate is. One city country.
Listen, I have to apologize for Ken.
Ken, you're out of control.
Ken is just has a lot of problems at home this week. You know, and you know how he gets his kicks? Just putting listeners down.
Well, let's just
That's what he enjoys doing.
Well,
and he doesn't even do it on his own show. Hey Andy, can I come on your show and insult your listeners?
He doesn't even do it well.
Let me just apologize. Not only for that last statement, but for anything he might say in the next 35 minutes. All right.
Will you turn my headphones on now? Can I please have the volume back in my headphones?
Yes, there you go.
Are you done with whatever you were doing?
I was just quizzing him on. Okay, and the last one. Now, this is a tough one.
Okay.
Close your eyes. You're not reading from an atlas, are you?
Not at all.
England!
England. Ooh, geez, I don't know. I believe it's on the.
It's Stonehenge.
I believe it could Stonehenge. Be that L word. London, maybe?
London's right.
Thank
I know
you.
That. Okay, thank you very much, caller.
Thank you.
You have the capitals of Europe right there. And we got to meet.
Great. Now he just needs to memorize. Now he just needs to memorize a few more of the countries of Europe.
He knew most of the countries of Europe.
All right. So now should we try another exciting test of line number three?
Yes.
Yes, I think.
Let's put that guinea pig on the phone. 678-7743. Hi, you're on the air. Hello. Wait, is that,
they're not there.
Is that someone trying to talk?
No, that was me.
Oh.
Line three, still dead.
So okay. someone has been trying to get through, has gone through the call screening process, and you have put them in your little test
they're
tube.
They're just a guinea pig.
Yeah, put them in that test tube at the end of the table. Fine.
Maybe
Thank
that will,
you,
maybe
Ken.
That will teach them a lesson.
Yeah, right, about life.
About no, something.
I'm learning an awful lot here, Ken. 678-7743. Hi, what have you memorized?
I memorized an old public service commercial for high school, getting your high school literacy diploma or whatever.
And how do we know that you haven't typed this out and are reading it? Do you have anyone
I'll tell you how we know, because he's Bill the Poet's buddy.
Are you Bill the Poet's buddy?
Yes, this is Bill the Poet's
And
friend.
No friend of Bill the Poet's would lie about words.
No, not
words are sacred to Bill the Poet and his friend.
Is Bill the Poet insulted that you don't have his poems memorized, but you do have this damn PSA memorized?
He's insulted that I don't have his last name memorized.
Okay, so let's hear this PSA. This is something you heard when you were in high school.
TV commercial, black and white, picture, if you will, a seedy office. An actor dressed as Abraham Lincoln walks in. He sits down at a desk and fills out an application. It's an employment agency. So he gets called into the back office, and he sits down, and there's this guy at the desk who's real seedy, hard-boiled looking with a mustache and a bald.
This is the preamble to the
thing. This is the only caller so far that's actually had
so
set
goes,
the
stage direction.
Like the other, the previous caller didn't say, picture,
Abraham.
If you will, a continent on the other side of the ocean.
Well, if you'd rather hear the capitals, the different sexual positions in Swaziland, you know, we could accommodate that. But
also, you have two things memorized.
Okay.
And you're blessing us with a 20-year-old PSA.
Abe looks him in the eye, and he goes, very sincerely, well, sir, I've done a lot of reading and studying on my own. And the guy looks him in the eye and goes, yeah, but what about college? And Lincoln just gives him this helpless look and shrugs his shoulders, and he keeps staring at his shoes. And the guy goes, face it, pal, you ain't going nowhere without that sheepskin. And that has stood by me all these years.
Thank you very much. And, you know, that brings up a very good point. Kids, stay in school. Seriously. We're having a lot of fun here on the show.
Like these guys. That's
the school's
right.
out. It's the middle of summer.
Get back to school now. And you can probably pick up a summer class in session, mid-session, but get back to school. That's a very good point, caller.
Yeah, crank calling 101. That's the course.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Thanks a lot.
You know, if we're allowed to do commercials, I have one memorized. It's picture, if you will, two twin girls, fresh face, all American, and they're holding gum. And the song goes, double your pleasure, double your fun, with double mint. Double mint gum.
It's an old Juicy Fruit commercial, right?
Hold on, let me just check. What was the sponsor of that commercial?
I remember that.
Well, apparently not very effective. 678-7743. Hi, you're on the air.
Up.
Oh. Eric, ask them, Eric, if they're going to hang up on us. That should be Eric's
first
call.
Ask them, are you a dial tone or are you a human being?
Yeah. And we're looking for which of those.
You want me to? You want everything from me,
Eric? Seriously, just say, are you going to hang up on these guys? 678-7743. So, what has been the most incredible feat of memorization that we've seen so far? Probably me, I would guess.
Yeah, the Robert Frost poem.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I could do another one.
Yeah, we it would be nice to hear somebody in a car.
Yeah, because then you'd know.
You'd know for sure.
For sure, that they really memorized it. Wow.
You know what I was worried about? I thought that we were going to get people calling up and saying that they memorized some song by this great band, you know, and it was their band, you know, and then.
Now you've put the idea in their heads.
Yeah. Well, now we can hang up on them.
You know,
if it happens.
Earlier in the show, I used the phrase Dark Side of the Moon, and I was joking at the time, but I kind of feel that's sort of where we are. We're in that capsule
kind of, we've lost communication. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, I'm gonna do.
You love
little...
the show,
huh?
You love the show.
Oh, I love the show.
It's important for people to say they love the show this week because last week Stork and I didn't make them say that.
So they have to get back into the
They
habit.
Had a free ride last week.
It's like dogs that have been on the couch. Now they have to learn to get off the couch again.
Right.
And you're a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Uh-huh.
Well, say it.
All that. Okay, I'm going to do a little singy lounge thing to it.
But what are you doing?
I'm doing Bring the Noise by Public Enemy, just the opening lines.
And you've memorized it?
Uh-huh.
Okay, go.
Okay, let me gather my thoughts for a minute. Okay.
You're reading this.
No, I'm not.
Close your eyes.
They're closed.
Spin around as you do it.
I'm dizzy.
Jump around. No, you got to jump around so you can't read.
Do that.
Jump. Caller, we're about to hang up on you. Jump around.
Bass. How low can you go?
Jump.
Death row. What a brother. No, once again.
He sounds like he's reading to me.
Okay.
And besides, I just want to hang up on him.
So you've rationalized the reason to hang up on him.
I think I was honest.
Well, I guess that's about it for tonight. Thank you very much. You've been listening to WMMR. Hold on. I'm getting a note here. Hold on. What? 27 more minutes? No. Okay. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
Can you hear me?
We sure can, loud and clear.
I wasn't hanging up on you.
Oh, okay. Hey, you have something memorized?
Yeah, I do. I can say the presidents in order in one breath.
Oh, good.
There you go.
Even
if she was reading it, she couldn't read it that fast.
Right.
This has to be memorized. And when did you first learn this?
Oh, well, my mother taught it to me in fifth grade. Whenever I'd take a bath, she'd make me memorize one more and add on to the list.
And you've added it? You've added to it?
Yes.
So you're up to date to the most current...
Yeah.
To the most current president of all.
I can name the last three presidents. So once she gets to 1982, I'll know if she's correct.
That's right.
From before that, there's no way for me really to verify any of this. Okay. Ready, listener? In one breath.
Okay. Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, Adams, Jackson, Van Buren, Harrison, Teller, Polk, Taylor, Truman, Pierce, Buchanan, Lincoln, Johnson, Grant, Hayes, Garfield, Arthur, Cleveland, Harrison, Cleveland, McKinley, Roosevelt, Taft, Wilson, Harding, Coolidge, Hoover, Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, Bush, Clinton.
Huh. Is that it?
Yeah.
I guess it's a young, vibrant country. How many? So there are 30. That was 37 names?
It's 41.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There you go. Excuse me. 41 names?
Yeah. I had to say them fast because I would run out of air.
And now, do you ever regret that you didn't get to enjoy your bath time like other children? We were like making bubbles with cups and floating little boats.
Yeah.
Oh, you should confront your mother. You should get it out.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm in therapy.
Man, don't repress this kind of thing. Well, thanks very much for calling.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
Alrighty.
So that was like a legitimate feat.
Oh, yeah, that was a great feat of memorization.
That's right. Really good.
Really good memorization.
Yeah, the president. You know, her mother taught it to her when she was a kid.
Thank you, Ma.
Yeah, that really was good. She was in the bathtub. That's why I guess she remembered it so well, but I guess she had to add the more recent presidents.
Like Carter Reagan.
Exactly. I wonder if she still does it in the bathtub. Like, if that's something that just by rote she'll just start doing.
Okay, let's give this a try.
Maybe it's the same caller.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, you love the show. Hello?
No, they're not there.
Oh, they're there. Don't hang up yet, Ken. Hello? For God's sake, talk to us. No, they're there. Ken, seriously, don't hang up. Hello, caller. We want to listen.
No, Andy.
We are here for you.
Andy.
No. Ken, don't. Caller, we are here. We will not laugh at you.
Let it go, Andy.
We are your friends.
Try we are from Earth.
We come in peace.
You can lie. You can say we come in peace.
Caller, please don't be afraid.
No,
talk to us.
Let it go, Andy.
Let it go. They're gone.
I'm sure they were. They had something memorized. I could just feel it.
Now, so we still haven't had anybody in a car. I told you, that was really narrowing the pool down way too far.
Well, clearly that hasn't...
Somebody in a car who also happened to have something memorized.
So her mother put her in the bathtub.
And made
her memorize this stuff. Now, I used to have to take baths with my sister. You know, because sometimes we'd both be home from college the same week.
Mm-hmm.
And
during a drought.
During a drought, yeah.
I know how that is.
And it was awful. My sister had been dead for 10 years, and that's what made it even worse. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Great.
Thank you for calling.
Hey.
Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you.
Hey, it sounds like our own Dave the Spaz.
Okay, I
won't say it again.
I'll say it.
Is Dave a member of our staff here?
Oh, don't worry about the staff. you don't have to memorize a single name of the WFMU staff, Andy. You're
have
off.
I, Dave,
I can do it in alphabetical order, but I can only do one.
You can do what?
Go ahead, start.
Oh, okay. Here's a very embarrassing feat. It's all the Marx Brothers movies, frontwards and backwards.
Oh, great.
That sounds great.
And I can vouch
for Dave that he wouldn't be reading this.
Yeah.
Okay.
He can't read. So yeah.
I know Thunderball and Goldfinger, and I guess that's the only ones I know.
Those weren't Marx Brothers movies. Yeah. Yeah.
Could you hold on, please? Just hold on.
Okay.
You are an idiot. They, James Bond. Oh, okay. No, you're right. You're right, Ken. I stand corrected. Okay, Marx Brothers movies.
Okay.
Go.
Coconuts, Animal Crackers, Monkey Business, Horse Feathers, Duck Soup, A Night at the Opera, Day at the Races, Room Service, At the Circus, Go West, The Big Sword, Night at Casablanca, Love Happy. Backwards, if you want.
Yes.
Okay. Love Happy, Night in Casablanca, The Big Store, Go West, At the Circus, Room Service, Stay at the Races, Night at the Opera, Duck Soup, Horse Feathers, Monkey Business, Animal Crackers, Coconuts. Yay.
Very good. You've got 1 foot in the door of every major corporation in America with that feat.
Yeah.
Every major corporation owned by the children of Chico or Harpo.
Yeah.
That's most of them.
Chico's daughter, Maxine. All right.
Thank you.
He threw that in. He knows the name of Chico Marx's daughter.
Well, like you didn't know that?
Oh, sure, I know it. I was just saying, what a blatant thing to have to throw in.
Yeah.
So he named all the Marx Brothers.
Front and backwards.
Yeah. I kind of tuned out after that.
You think that's something his mother taught him in the bathtub?
I think that's something that girl's mother taught him in the bathtub. My theory is she went from bathtub to bathtub teaching things.
She never made it to my house. I guess it was like... Santa Claus.
I used to lie awake praying for her to make it to my house.
What did you want her to teach you?
Oh, anything. Anything. Had my little dish rag all ready to fall off at the proper moment.
Andy, another 20 minutes. 20 minutes to go.
How long is it? No, it's not probably, quite. Because probably. I start the theme song a minute. I could start the theme song a minute before 7. So 19 minutes. The theme song is actually a minute and a half. 18 and a half minutes. Come on, Andy. You can do it. Don't give up, boy. You can do it. Keep a moving, boy.
I knew we should have done the show tonight without microphones, just like I was saying.
We'd have to really shout.
Yeah, we could always shout into the styli on the turntables.
678-7743.
Okay,
guess.
Let's see.
Or any number close to that, I guess.
Okay, here we have regular call number one.
Hi, what have you memorized?
Oh, hi, is this Ken?
Yeah, this is Ken.
Yeah, this is Ken.
How are you feeling? You weren't on the air this morning.
No, it's been a bad summer for me.
Oh, that's too bad.
Why don't you ask him what's wrong? He loves telling these stories.
Well, we know about the spider bite.
Flesh,
we all believe that story.
The flesh-tasting disease.
Uh-huh.
No, but today's story was even more dramatic.
Oh, we haven't heard that one yet.
I know.
That's even better than what I memorized.
What did you memorize?
I've got The Walrus and the Carpenter by Lewis Carroll.
Oh, that's good.
I'd like to hear that very much.
And that would take you to the end of your show, too, because it's, I guess, about 5 or 6 pages long.
That's no good.
You have the whole thing memorized?
Uh-huh.
But how do we know that you're not reading it?
Well, I'll stumble very much.
Will you swear on your mother's...
Grave?
Grave?
Well, that's kind of hard. She was cremated, and we scattered the ashes.
Damn. There's no way to verify this.
Just do the first page.
Oh, okay.
What have you got, a better idea? More whining, another 18 and a half minutes of whining from you to a Lewis Carroll poem?
Well, I figure that's pretty much what's going to happen anyway. I won't get to recite very much of it. That's what Andy's there for, right?
Right.
Good. Oh, God.
So I can begin and Andy can, like, chirp in and...
Yeah, you just start. I'll turn off Andy's microphone.
Oh, no. Turn it on really loud.
Okay.
Okay, we'll begin.
Sure.
The sun was shining on the sea, shining with all his might. He did his very best to make the billows smooth and bright. And this was odd, because it was the middle of the night.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. The sun was shining. That's how it began.
Uh-huh.
And then you went on to say it was the middle of the night?
Uh-huh.
Ah! Caught ya! Ah! You've been caught. Hooked you in. Hang up on this loser. My God, no poem would ever have that kind of contradiction in it. All right. We caught him. Red-handed.
You really want me to hang up on
him? Yeah! How could that be? All right, let's let him go. One more verse.
Okay.
The moon was shining sulkily, because she thought the sun had got no business to be there after the day was done. It's very rude of him, she said, to come and spoil the fun.
Wait, who was saying this now?
That woman who goes bathtub to bathtub.
The moon?
The moon, that's right, the moon.
Oh, God. And this is like a real poem.
It's by Lewis Carroll.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
He's a real person when you come to think of it, because that was just a pen name.
Okay, what's the next verse?
Gosh, can I remember now? The sea was wet as wet could be. The sands were dry as dry. You could not see a cloud because no clouds were in the sky. No birds were flying overhead. There were no birds to fly. The walrus and the carpenter were walking close at hand.
A walrus and a carpenter.
They wept like anything to see such
to
quantities of sand.
Ken?
If they were only cleared away, they said, it would be
They're
grand.
They're talking now. The walrus is talking to the carpenter.
If seven maids and seven mops swept
Wait,
it for
are
half
you listening
a year,
to this?
Do you suppose, the walrus said, that
it's
they could
carpenter.
Get it clear?
Yeah, that's some,
it,
that's some great carpenter.
Shed a bitter tear.
Love to have him build one of my patios. Yeah, well, when you're done talking to that walrus, why don't you come on over and give me an estimate? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oysters, come and walk with us. The walrus did beseech.
And they're talking
a pleasant
to
walk,
oysters.
A pleasant talk along the briny beach. We cannot do with more than four to lend a hand to each.
Oh, yeah, they can only walk with four oysters. That's their problem.
The eldest oyster
this is a great poem.
And shook his heavy head, meaning to say he did not choose to leave the oyster bed.
Yeah.
But four young oysters hurried up.
Oh, they found some oysters that will walk
their
with them.
Their coats were brushed, their faces
Thank
washed.
God.
Their shoes were clean.
This is a real classic.
And this was odd, because you know they hadn't any feet.
Right. Oh, yeah, the oysters didn't have feet.
Okay, that was excellent. That was the...
Yeah, that changed our life.
The oyster and the carpenter.
Yeah, the carpenter that was talking to the walrus.
Well, I assume somebody else is calling then.
No, we just want to test that third line that doesn't work. I mean, that's the motivation for me.
Okay, well, good luck.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Hope you're doing okay.
Yeah. And that's a real good carpenter to call. Keep his number on the refrigerator.
Yeah, I mean, come on, seriously. We could have listened to a wonderful Lewis Carroll poem, or we could try to fix the third line. I mean, you know, we only have 15 minutes left to try to fix this thing.
Yeah, that was a great poem.
Okay, Telco 3 is at Symmetrics 2. Okay, so I hit 3 there, and then I hit 2 there.
Hello.
Hey, is this line 3?
Yes.
Hey,
Paul from Howard Beach.
All right.
Hey, you're the first successful talk call on line 3 we've had.
Thanks.
Hey, we should thank our...
You know what? I got just to bust your bubble, Paul. You're not really on line 3.
Oh.
Okay. We kind of like jerry-rigged it a bit.
But we can still get 3 calls in though, can't we?
Not exactly. I don't think so. If
Now line 1 is down. Thank you to our ace technician.
So, yeah, okay. So, anyway, Paul.
Love your show.
What's new on the antidepressant front?
Paul, you don't have to say love the show anymore.
Oh.
It's good to have you back.
I've reached the next plateau.
No, Paul, it's good to have you back because I know that Andy was so mean to you that you stopped listening to us for a while, but I'm glad you're here again.
Okay.
Paul stopped calling, but he did not stop listening.
No,
I know exactly how mean to be.
He stopped listening.
I pulled my punches before I got to that point.
I was calling in spirit.
You were calling in spirit, I know. Yes. You were.
Okay, you want to hear me recite something?
Yes, but how do we know that your eyes are closed?
Well, I have nothing in front of me, and I'm all alone in this room.
Turn around.
Okay.
Now.
Yep, turning around.
Okay, he's backwards. Sounds backwards.
And what are you going to recite for us, Paul?
Future Legend by David Bowie from Diamond Dog.
I knew the show would get to this point.
Are you going to be singing it, or?
No, it's a poetry piece.
It's a poetry piece.
Yeah.
We'd like very much to hear that.
Okay. And in the death, as the last few corpses lay rotting in the slimy thoroughfare,
The shutters lifted up an ancient temple's building.
Don't be mean to him.
What is this accent he's doing?
Just don't be mean to him because he's like got serious psychological problems. You know how he calls up with the antidepressants every...
Are you saying he's potentially dangerous?
Yes.
Yeah, my theory is...
He's this homebound guy. He lives out there in Howard Beach with his mother. He's not a kid.
He's not alone because there's somebody else in the house with him. This is not him talking now. He's given the phone to some British...
No,
British putz. This is not him. Listen,
that's him.
Listen to the accent.
Yeah. That was great, Paul.
That was very good, Paul. Thank you very much. And thank your friend there, Willard. Thank him for an excellent reading.
Okay.
Paul, that was such a good English accent that Andy thought it was your friend Willard.
Hey, Willard, hello!
David Bowie over here. I got David Bowie over here. What's happening?
No, seriously,
Bowie?
Paul.
Are you still making records?
Who?
David Bowie?
Yeah.
No, he gave that up, 20 years ago, making records?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
The last thing I heard from him was Absolute Beginners.
That wasn't even him then.
Now, I have a...
He just lent his name to that. He's just hanging out on Key West, I think. He's just, sitting on the beach.
I have a friend who used to work for his production company, and she told me, and there's no way to verify this, but she told me that David Bowie was very eccentric.
You're kidding.
That's what I heard.
Gee, I thought he was...
But,
square.
You know, you hear those kind of rumors all the time.
Square.
This is what I heard, okay? I don't, I can't verify it,
no,
but that's what I hear.
Hearsay. Just hearsay. That's, in the court of law, hearsay does nothing.
In a court of law, the three of us would add up to nothing, I think.
Exactly.
678-7743. Bye-bye,
Paul. Bye, Paul.
Was I nice to Paul?
You were nice. We were both very nice. Because he couldn't hear a word we were saying while he was reading his poem, and while Willard was reading.
That was not Paul.
His poem.
No one is that good an actor. If that was Laurence Olivier, then I would say, okay, hey, now we have an actor. Now I would believe it. But that could not have been the same man.
Okay, now we're waiting. We're waiting for guidance from above on whether or not we can go to the next call. We can? We can go to line two? Okay, two is two again?
Two is two.
All right, we've got this down to...
Hi, you loved the show. Did you enjoy talking to Eric?
Yeah, it was great.
He's a very well-brought-up young man, isn't he?
Yes, he is. I have the first 18 lines to the general prologue of Chaucer's Canterbury Tales. Memorized.
When did you have to memorize this?
Last two semesters ago at school for the class Chaucer.
Did you read it? Did you recite it in front of the class?
Yeah.
Did everyone else have to memorize the same thing?
Well, no, we had to choose different parts to memorize. I chose that part because I was first. So I said, okay, I'll take the first 18 lines.
Okay, and we're ready to go. Ladies
and
gentlemen,
hold on, wait. This is
Canterbury Tales.
This is in Chaucer in English, though. It's not in regular English, so you might not understand it.
What kind of English is it in?
Middle English.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay, so all the F's are S's.
Well, we'll
That's
see.
Basically it, right?
No. Here, let me start reading. You tell me if you need to stop, and I'll translate.
Are you going to put on a Middle English accent?
I'm going to give it my best shot.
Are you going to put on a Middle English facial expression?
Yeah, but yes.
Sort of like a British
twit sort of
thing?
I always have a Middle
thing?
English facial expression.
Okay, so we can just imagine you doing that.
Yes, that's right.
All right, here we go.
Okay, here we go. One that April with his shora sota, the druth of March hath perished to the rota. And bothered every vein and sweet liqueur, of which virtue engendered is the floor. One zephyrus ache with his sway to breath, and spirit hath in every holt and haith. The tender crapus and the younger suna hath in the ram as halve course hiruna. And smaller foolish mocking melodia that sleep in all the nisht with open ear, so pricketh them nature in ear carages. Then long invoked to gone on pilgrimages and palmers for forsaken strunges strandes to Fernahal with couth and sundry landes. And specially from every sheerest end of England to Canterbury they went. The holy blissful martyr for forsaken that emeth hope in one that they were saken. That's it.
That's great. And we know what happens later in the Canterbury Tales, right?
Well, many things happen.
They screw and screw and screw and screw.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know much about Chaucer, but I bet he used to get the crap beat out of them in gym class. Because you talk like
We're talking like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Guys are merciless.
Yeah, that's true.
And especially in junior high school.
Yeah.
Man, I'd hate to be a friend of his.
Well, after I read this, actually, in class, I got beat up afterwards.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Oh, well worth it.
Yeah, can I give a shout-out to my friend Lewis?
No. Thank you very much for calling.
I mean, we already did a shout-out to Lewis. It would be redundant.
And anyway, I was hoping Lewis would become my best friend. So I'm trying to move in on Lewis.
You don't speak Middle English.
Lewis goes for those big, brawny Middle English.
I don't think that was Middle English. I think he was just playing some record backwards.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, you love the show.
You love the show, right?
Yes, hello. I love the show.
Okay. Did you enjoy meeting Eric?
Eric? I never met Eric.
No, he was the call screener.
Oh, yeah.
He probably didn't introduce himself. He's so modest. I mean, he's screening calls. He's not going to say, this is Eric, and now I'm going to screen your call.
No.
And also, he's tired. You know, he's holding like 3 different jobs.
Of course.
Because he's trying to raise money for the operation.
Oh, what kind of operation?
It's a penile reduction.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, we wish we had that problem. Am I right? But he's very sensitive about it. Anyway, you've memorized something.
Yes, pretty much.
You've memorized something pretty much. Okay.
And what might it be?
It's The Highwayman. It's a poem by Alfred Noyes. Sir Alfred Noyes.
Oh, I know this poem.
Do you?
Yeah. It's a long poem.
Oh, very long, yes.
It's like pages and pages in that damn...
But your show is too short.
Could you give us like every third line,
or
maybe?
The highlight when he pulls the gun and on the...
Oh. All
right, just start us out with
just
The Highwayman.
Just the first couple of lines, then just jump to that end about miles to go before I sleep.
Yeah. Or when they screw and screw and screw and screw. Okay, The Highwayman by Noyes.
Every fourth line.
No, you can't do every fourth line.
Oh, good poem you could.
No one asked you to do every fourth subspecies in your biology.
Kingdom, order, species.
Originally a poem, but then it became a song.
Whose woods these are, I think I know. My little horse must think it queer. The woods are lovely. I guess you can do it.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Start the poem, and we'll just see how far we get.
Okay. The wind was a torrent of darkness, tossed upon cloudy seas.
Let me just interrupt. Is there going to be a talking walrus here?
No.
I can't do that again.
No, I don't do that.
Okay, go ahead, sir. The wind, the wind, the wind. Go ahead.
The wind was a torrent of darkness among the gusty trees. The moon was
he's
a ghostly galleon.
He is singing.
Ken, he's singing.
Yeah, I don't think that's any good. I don't think...
He gave no indication that he was going to sing.
Right, he said...
We were blindsided here. He misrepresented himself completely.
So I don't think we should let him continue.
Well, you know what? You know who put the melody to this?
Joan Baez?
No, Phil Oates. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, you're right. So he's just...
So he just learned the song.
Yeah, so he's just singing a Phil Oates song.
Pretty much.
Should I continue or no?
Andy, what do you think?
Well, you know, it occurs to us, you really didn't memorize the poem, you memorized the Phil Oakes song.
Oh, Phil Oakes sang that.
Well, yeah, he put the melody to that.
Are you sure?
Well,
yeah.
I only know 18 things.
I told you the guy that was on the phone earlier.
Eric?
Yeah, that's him, that's right.
But... Well, Eric, he's borderline retarded. He's just, you can't go by him.
I wasn't sure, but, you know.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks for trying. I've memorized Phil Oakes songs. The war is bad. The war is bad. Bring the boys home. We've had enough. And more or less, that's one of the songs. I declare the war is over.
That's uncanny. How much you sound like Phil Oakes. When you were doing the folk singer circuit, did people often compare you to Phil Oakes?
They did, but not favorably.
Well, they compared you to Phil Oakes after the suicide.
Why can't you be more like Phil Oakes? Is all I heard. God, if I had a nickel for every time I heard that. So no one called from a car. If you're in a car and you have anything memorized, 678-7743. The original plan was... A series of people commuting home would call from their car, and we would know that they really memorized stuff because we'd hear that they were in a car and not reading. That was the theory.
Right. These are always the concepts that Andy comes up with for these shows.
Well, I'm a
dreamer. The whole world is going to conform to my vision.
It'll be
a world of people speeding home in their cars, reciting Robert Frost poems into their car phones.
I'm a dreamer. It's my little utopia. A man's dream should exceed his grasp. Okay, I will admit to be disappointed, but I'd like to hear one commuter, 678-7743, just so I can say, somebody called. Hey, come on, because my kids are listening. My kids are, oh, daddy's dying on the air.
Wait,
daddy's
your kids are at summer camp.
Right, did you ever send them that tape that we made for him?
No, that tape scared me. I listened to it. I think it would give them bad dreams. They could play it instead of the ghost stories around the campfire. That was a pretty nasty compilation.
Have you sent your kids any
care packages? Yes.
Now, did you send the care packages, or did you hire a firm to send them?
Are there
packages?
Such firms?
Yeah, there was an article about one such firm in the Times today.
Oh, that's kind of pathetic.
Yeah.
No, I hired someone to contract to call the firm. I have a life. I can't just be calling these firms up all day. So I hired, some guy, and he didn't speak English as well as I'd like, but I think he got hold of these firms. Our son got, we sent him a care package, including Silly Putty, and we understand that the Silly Putty was confiscated by the man.
Oh, that's because they stuff it in their mouths. They stuff it in each other's mouths when they tie them up.
Maybe.
No, I think that's why.
And also, the Silly Putty, which I couldn't believe, the gum, which I couldn't believe, and the M80s, I couldn't believe. All those things were just taken away from my son. And the cop killer bullets. I know. Like, it's like Berlin, 1938. Hello.
What's a 12-year-old kid at summer camp going to do with cop killer bullets? Like, you got to, at some point, you got to start trusting your campers.
Exactly.
Silly Putty, I can understand. Because, they're going to stuff it in each other's mouths so they can't even scream for help.
The bulletproof vest that the counselors at this camp wear, they will stop many of these bullets. I know they're called, cop killer bullets. They will penetrate a vest. But in most cases, the vest will stop the bullets. So these counselors were safe.
Now, years ago,
overreacted.
Years ago, WFMU, our program guide, LCD, got a mention in Penthouse magazine. And for years afterwards, and it said it was free for anybody who wanted it, and we would send a complimentary issue. And for about 5 years, we got requests from prisoners all over the country.
Wow.
Which demonstrated how these, what long a shelf life these issues of Penthouse and prisons have. And we would send these guys out, an issue of LCD and an FMU bumper sticker. And the bumper stickers were always returned to us as contraband.
They're not allowed to have bumper stickers?
No, because they stick the Silly Putty in their mouth and they put the bumper sticker over their mouth. Oh, and no one can hear them scream.
Oh, it's used
while
for gang rapes.
While they're making love.
Well, you know what Mary and I do? Mary and I just put tennis balls in each other's mouths
and then wrap
it around with duct tape.
That's
you can
porous.
Do so many things with duct tape. Oh, man, we should do a whole show on duct tape.
Duct tape is fine, but it's basically woven fiber.
Yeah.
It's porous. You can scream through it. Whereas Silly Putty and an FMU bumper sticker, you'll have all the privacy you want.
I see. Well, if they're making love, what do they need the Penthouse magazines for? I found a little contradiction in your story.
Oh, just to stoke up the desire a little bit.
Oh, God.
Because, you're in prison.
Yeah.
That's all they do.
I guess you're right. If I was about to gang rape someone or be involved in a gang rape,
like Eric, like be honest.
If I was going to gang rape Eric after the show, you're right. I would want to look at some attractive women beforehand, because frankly, the idea of doing Eric is kind of repulsive. So I could see. No, I could see now the logic. Hey,
well, I'm glad we finally got our show back on track.
A great note to end on. Thanks, Ken, for that little anecdote. You were saving that anecdote till 6:58. You've been listening to, I'm at a loss.
Seven seconds delay.
WFMU.
East Orange.
East Orange, New Jersey.
You're listening to WFMU, East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, and WFMU.org. That was a 1995 episode of 7 Second Delay.
Shut up!
And this is a sound of the blues scale. The blues scale is very simple, very useful, but also very simple to build. All you have to do is know your minor pentatonic scales. So in this case, I was playing A.
Blues come so many different ways until it's kind of hard to explain.
See my jumper, oh Lord, hang out on the line. See my jumper. Thank you. have been for you. Way down here, yeah, the way you wanna do. See about your bow, Lord, hang out on the line. See about your bow, Lord, hang out on the line. Know about that.